Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Approximately 800,000 people suffer a stroke each year in the United States, with more than 140,000 deaths, making it the third leading cause of death here. And with stroke, timing is everything. Joining us this morning is part of our continuing segment, What's Your Emergency? With some helpful information on how to deal with an emerging stroke, are Dr. Eric Deshaies, Associate Professor of Neurosurgery, Neuroscience, and Physiology, and the Director of the Neurovascular Institute, and Dr. Derek Cooney, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine at Upstate Medical University, and the Director of Emergency Medical Services and Disaster Medicine. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Linda.
So, why is it so important in terms of timing, why is it so important to recognize if you're having a stroke?
Well, stroke is a significant emergency condition, and it could lead to severe disability if not treated in the appropriate time at the appropriate center.
So in other words, timing really is everything in this case.
Timing is very important when someone is having a stroke.
So how would you recognize, let's say you were home with your family, you know, how would you know that you were having a stroke?
Anyone who experiences symptoms where they have some numbness, tingling, weakness, paralysis in their face, their arms or legs, problems talking or understanding what people are saying to them, those could be signs of a stroke and need attention immediately.
Okay, so if anyone, you, yourself or your loved ones, are experiencing that, what should they do then, Dr. Cooney?
Well, you know, there's a temptation in a lot of cases, especially in our today's society, to say, well, you know, maybe this will go away. Maybe we should wait and see how they do. Or, you know, don't call the ambulance, just take me in the car, call my doctor's office, or perhaps I'll go to the urgent care. This is one of those conditions, the situations where that just wouldn't be a good idea. This is the type of situation where you need to immediately call 911.
And then what happens?
Then skilled providers from the local EMS service will come to your door, make an assessment, and if they feel there's any chance that this is a stroke, they'll go to a stroke center.
Okay. So what does it mean when you say go to a stroke center? I mean, we're talking about emergencies.
A stroke center is any hospital that has the ability to evaluate someone who's potentially having a stroke and also give clot-busting medication through the veins intravenously. The most common clot-busting drug is called TPA. But there are different levels of stroke centers. So when we discuss stroke centers, there are different designations. Your most typical ones are able to give the clot-busting medications by veins, but you do have a very limited window during which time the physicians can actually protect your brain. That window is only 3 hours from the time that the stroke symptoms begin. There are other stroke centers where you can actually give clot-busting drugs out for 8 hours, so the physician has 8 hours to protect your brain and reverse the symptoms. But it can only be done at highly specialized centers where they can go in the artery using x-ray cameras, go into the brain with a very tiny little microcatheter, and then give clot-busting drugs either directly into the clot in the brain or use devices to pull or suction out the clot. And these are your very highly specialized centers, of which in the region, only Upstate University has these capabilities.
Wow. Wow. So clearly, if you were having a stroke, you'd want to go to one of these top centers.
Correct. Because if you go to some of the other centers, by the time you're diagnosed, and if you're out of that window and then you're transported to one of the highly specialized centers, you've already lost time. And that time could mean the difference between whether or not you're a candidate for that extended intervention or not. So you could lose time and then not even be a candidate to get the specialized treatment.
So if you were saying before, just to get back to this idea of it's starting to happen and you're at home, let's say it's happening to you. If you're alone, you have to try to somehow call 911. But if you're with someone, you don't want that person to try to take you to the hospital. You always want to go in an ambulance.
Right. You always want to go in the ambulance. And one of the reasons for that, especially if you're alone, obviously you're going to have to dial 911 because you're becoming incapacitated. And even
quickly,
if you think you could drive your car, you may cause an accident, hurt yourself or others. So obviously that's not a good idea. And a lot of times people say, well, I'll just drive Dad to the emergency department. Well, in the back of the ambulance, they're doing a lot of monitoring and they're doing a lot of communication for you so that the hospital is ready for arrival. At Upstate, when we get a call from the ambulance that they're bringing in a patient with a potential stroke, we actually have something we call a stroke activation. We get our stroke team, our experts are down to the emergency department to evaluate the patient many times on arrival. And then if we need to meet that window and we're racing for time, that could make all the difference. So 911, calling 911, getting EMS involved is an important key element into our system that we function as part of the stroke care team.
Are there less and more serious types of stroke? In other words, are there levels of stroke also?
There is a scale that we used called the NIH Stroke Score or the National Institute of Health Stroke Score that was developed to grade severities of stroke. Some patients can have mild strokes with a very low NIH stroke score number, meaning that they may just have a little bit of numbness or tingling in the face or the arm or maybe some mild weakness. Then there are other patients who may start out that way or immediately present with very severe strokes where there's a large blockage in one of the arteries in the brain from a blood clot or a piece of calcium or cholesterol from hardening of the arteries, and they are immediately paralyzed on one side of the body or the other, or become comatose and cannot talk, cannot communicate. So yes, there are very different degrees. And as Dr. Cooney was saying, that's why it's very important that even if you have some symptoms that are a little suspicious and maybe mild, and you're even thinking about it possibly being a stroke, that you should consider it a stroke and not just wait for it to go away. Because if you wait for the symptoms to go away, sometimes they don't, they get worse, and then you can actually become permanently disabled or even die from that.
So I guess the question is, if you're, depending on the level, the way your stroke presents, does that also affect outcome or suggest outcome in terms of where you'll end up? I mean, it seems like it's an obvious question, but I'm not.
Not necessarily. The important thing is how quickly you're able to reestablish blood flow to the brain. Because the faster you can get blood flow back to the brain and through that blocked artery, the more likely you are to have better outcomes. We've had patients who undergo some of these complex clot-busting procedures who before we're even done, as soon as we get the blood clot out, they start moving their leg or their arms again or start talking again within minutes. Even if they've had the blood clot there and had the symptoms for a matter of a few hours. And some of those patients have also failed the intravenous clot-busting medication or the TPA that they would get at some of the surrounding stroke centers. So absolutely, time is brain, and the faster you're able to get the blood clot out and get oxygen and blood and nutrients to the area of the brain, the more likely you are to have a better outcome.
How new is this technology that you're talking about, this higher level, where you actually can go in and intervene and remove the clots?
It's been evolving over the past 5 years with different types of devices. Before that, we used to go into the brain and directly inject a clot-busting drug into the blood clot because the dose that you need is actually smaller. And in patients who have had recent surgeries, who have had ulcers in their stomach and bleeding disorders, they're not even candidates for the intravenous medication.
I see.
So they'll go to a stroke center and then only to find out that they're not really candidates for this clot-busting drug through the veins. If you come to one of these highly specialized centers, we can do it in the artery and give a smaller dosage. So that's what used to be done until about 5 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. They started developing some devices where we can go into the brain through the artery and the leg using x-ray cameras to pull these clots out. And they've been evolving. We've had much better success. And recently, back in March of 2012, we were one of the first in the country to use a new type of device, which is a stent, which is a little metal tube that actually we put into the clot in the brain. It captures that clot, immediately allows blood flow to go back to the brain, and then we're able to pull that stent out with a blood clot. And our studies in this have shown that the patient outcomes are much better. We're able to get the blood clot out significantly faster, and the patients overall seem to be doing much better.
That sounds amazing. I mean, that's it sounds like a real improvement in stroke care. I mean, the kinds of things you're describing. Because from my earlier years, in studying all of this, it seemed like there really wasn't a lot that could be done. It seems like we've come an awfully long way in terms of intervening and preventing that kind of serious and long-lasting damage to the brain.
It has. It's evolved quite significantly. In the past, as you say, if someone was having a stroke, they would go to the hospital and the vital signs were checked, and then they are watched in the hospital, and then they go to rehabilitation with the stroke. A large percentage of the population still think that that's what having a stroke is all about. There's nothing to do, and you go to a hospital, and then after that, you develop your stroke, and you're paralyzed, and you go to a nursing home. But that is not what currently is the process. As Dr. Cooney mentioned, it's a very highly developed process now, getting someone to the emergency room with the EMS as soon as possible, to the appropriate facility where you have many options. And if you go to the a comprehensive stroke center that has this minimally invasive stroke therapy, then you actually have 8 hours instead of 3 hours time for the physicians to work on protecting your brain and reversing those symptoms so that you don't have a high risk of going into a nursing home.
That's amazing. So just generally, who is most at risk for stroke? I mean, as our listening public is out there thinking, we're not talking about necessarily the 25-year-old, you know, male or female. I mean, who is most at risk for stroke?
Well, individuals of advanced age obviously have a little bit of higher risk. People with some cardiovascular disease have some higher risk. Some people with particular types of heart dysrhythmias actually can develop a certain type of stroke. People with problems with their arteries that go to the brain, and that makes sense, doesn't it? So if you have some plaque buildup
in your carotid artery,
obviously we think there's a potential increased risk. But I have to tell you that we have had a number of young people have strokes. Now those are unusual in our previous understanding of strokes, but they still need immediate care. I have to tell you, I mean, I worked in the emergency department for a while now, and we used to just have TPA. And you would get a lot of patients in that waited just a little too long. We were outside the window. We couldn't do anything about it. It was tragic. And that may be somewhat the same situation if that's the only modality you have. If patients are on blood thinners, now remember I just told you the people at risk have longstanding vascular disease. A lot of those patients are on certain types of blood thinners that may preclude our ability to give the TPA systemically. So what Dr. Deshaies is talking about is a huge advance for emergency care of stroke in our eyes.
So in other words, because they have had blood thinners, that you can't give them that additional clot-busting drug through their veins, as we said, and instead you really need to go into the artery, just as Dr. Deshaies was explaining, or the brain, and actually remove the clot.
That's absolutely correct. And I would also like to add that there was a recent publication looking at stroke, and actually the fastest-growing stroke population now is in children and young adults who are age 15 to 35 years old because of the increased obesity, heart disease, and diabetes. So this population, it's not very common for us to see strokes in these patients yet, as Dr. Cooney mentioned, but it is the fastest growing population. So even younger people who have similar symptoms need to get to the emergency room quickly.
Wow, that's chilling and very, very good advice. Well, thank you both so much for coming in. My guests have been Dr. Eric Deshaies, Associate Professor of Neurosurgery, Neuroscience, and Physiology, and the Director of the Neurovascular Institute, and Dr. Derek Cooney, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine at Upstate Medical University. Stay right with us. We'll be right back after this short break.